First case of the day, FTC versus Trudeau, docket number 084249 for Mr. Trudeau. Mr. Anderson.
Good morning. May it please the court. This is a case where the district court below held my client, Mr. Trudeau, in contempt of court. Sua sponte imposed a $37.6 million fine and imposed a sweeping three-year media ban, all because he appeared as a guest in an infomercial where he described his personal experience with a weight loss protocol that he had written about in his best-selling book called The Weight Loss Cure. And we think that both the contempt finding and the sanctions are unlawful and should be reversed, but I'd like to start my remarks this morning, if I may, with the sanctions, and in particular, the monetary sanction. We think that the monetary sanction issue in the case is controlled by this court's decision in SEC versus McNamee. And there, as explained by the court in McNamee, a proper civil contempt sanction should be either coercive or compensatory. A coercive sanction is one, of course, where the defendant has the opportunity to purge the sanction by bringing his or her conduct into compliance. And a compensatory sanction, according to SEC versus McNamee, is one that is truly remedial and is not tantamount to a punitive fine. The FTC here makes no attempt to defend this monetary sanction as coercive because obviously there's nothing that Mr. Trudeau can do under it to purge himself of the contempt.
Didn't the FTC originally request a larger sum, like $41 million?
They floated an idea of a number in the $40 million range. Yes, they did. And that, I think, consisted of two components, basically the infomercial sales and then the retail bookstore sales. So you are correct. There is reference to a higher number in the record.
Infomercial or whatever you call them sales was about $37 million, is that right?
Yes. The ITV Global, which created the infomercial, distributed and collected all the proceeds from the infomercial, collected gross proceeds, not net, but gross proceeds of about $37.6 million. And here's why imposing that amount on Mr. Trudeau is simply wrong. In McNamee, you'll recall that the defendant violated a court order restraining the defendant from selling stock, and the district court fashioned a remedy which required the defendant basically to pay 100% of the stock purchase price. And this court, the Seventh Circuit, said, hold the fort. That's not a proper remedial civil contempt sanction because it did not take into account those stock purchasers who did not want to rescind, and therefore it wasn't remedial. It was just basically a punitive penalty. And the court in McNamee, this court in McNamee, made clear that courts cannot impose fines or unconditional punitive awards without the heightened due process procedural protections afforded in criminal proceedings. And because those heightened due process protections were not afforded in McNamee, this court reversed, and we think that that same result is commanded here. You'll see the Tenth Circuit in the Kuykendall decision reaching essentially the same conclusion, that the FTC in these kinds of cases may not retain a windfall. You cannot, under the guise of a civil contempt award, order the defendant to pay an unconditional fine. In Kuykendall, the Tenth Circuit said that any civil contempt award must be paid to the court, used only to reimburse purchasers who want to rescind, and any excess has to be refunded to the defendant. It cannot be a fine without affording all the additional protections of a criminal case. And all of these decisions that I've mentioned today and that are in our brief follow the United States Supreme Court decision in the International Union versus Bagwell case. And that case is significant because the court there said what I'm saying here, namely that a flat, unconditional fine is a criminal fine and not a proper civil contempt fine if the contemner has no opportunity to purge the fine through compliance. And so here the district court's award below is just a simple flat order. Mr. Trudeau is required to pay $37.6 million to the FTC. It doesn't comply with any of the requirements of SEC versus McNamara, Kuykendall, or even Bagwell of the United States Supreme Court.
What is your idea of what is the proper, I guess, the civil contempt fine in this case, given the contempt finding?
Yeah, and it's the actual monetary amount that's available here to the FTC in this civil contempt proceeding is zero, and let me tell you why. And that is because this court has taught and others that every contempt proceeding, there's no such thing as a new complaint for contempt. Every contempt proceeding follows on and stems from the underlying action. And in D. Patrick versus Ford Motor, Kuykendall, other courts have said you have to look to the underlying action to understand the scope of the remedies that are available. And that brings me to Section 13B of the FTC Act. We know from the Second Circuit decision in Verity and other decisions that a financial remedy available under 13B is limited to equitable disgorgement, Your Honor. And equitable disgorgement, of course, is requiring the contemnor to disgorge the money or property in his possession that rightfully belongs to some other party. And here, because of the facts of this case, there's nothing to disgorge. All of the proceeds of the infomercial were obtained by and retained by ITV Global, which, by the way, the FTC is separately suing to recover those funds from ITV Global. Mr. Trudeau did not get them, and so under the Verity case, Your Honor, there is nothing for him to disgorge under a civil contempt sanction. I hope that's responsive to your question.
I'm confused about this relationship or non-relationship between Trudeau and ITV. All the money gets paid to ITV. ITV owns the rights to the book and and so forth. But does Trudeau just sit on the sidelines then and not seek whatever he's entitled to from ITV?
Well, he wasn't entitled to anything as a result of transferring the book. Let me tell you what happened. A couple of years before the book.
He sold his rights for $121 million or something.
Yeah, you got it essentially right. In about 2005, he sold much of his infomercial business to ITV Global, and he received for that sale a promissory note for $120 million paid over the course of about 10 years. The first $2 million was paid pretty promptly, and then the note went into default. And so Mr. Trudeau decided then, after all that happened, then Mr. Trudeau wrote the Weight Loss Cures book and decided to give ITV the rights to this book so that they would hopefully make some money and begin paying his installment note. They took in $37.6 million gross, but they did not pay anything else on the installment note. So Mr. Trudeau's hopes and aspirations were defeated.
So he's in some pretty serious litigation with ITV, I suppose.
Well, actually, as I represented to the district court last fall, Mr. Trudeau did take ITV to arbitration. There was an arbitration clause and basically foreclosed on the collateral for the note. So he took back some of the corporate assets that he had conveyed back in 2005. But although it was his hope that ITV would generate funds to begin paying for the note, that never materialized. So he never got the $37.6 million, never got any part of it.
What was the collateral he took?
The collateral, the note was secured by the stock of various companies in the infomercial business, and that collateral, much of that collateral, was secured. That was the collateral that secured the note, the stock in companies.
Is it worth anything?
Very debatable.
Probably not.
Very debatable, yeah. No cash came back. When we foreclosed on the note, no cash came back. I mean, these are companies that, you know, depend largely on Mr. Trudeau's talent and personality.
And he owns no interest in ITV.
No, Your Honor, he does not. He owns no interest in ITV.
No one in his family does.
No one in his family.
Totally independent.
It is totally independent. He has no financial interest in or relationship to ITV. He's not even a creditor anymore because the note has now been canceled. So those are the facts, and under those peculiar facts, There's nothing for him to...
Because of the collateral he took.
Pardon?
But it was canceled because of the collateral he took?
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. It was canceled because of the collateral he took back. So those are the facts. And if you look at Kuykendall and Verity, which teach that equitable disgorgement is the appropriate remedy here, and there's just nothing to disgorge. And that I explained that to the district court. The district court, you know, found that unsatisfactory and just levied this unconditional fine against Mr. Trudeau. And so, you know, regardless of whether there's anything to disgorge or not, the fine just does not withstand scrutiny under SEC versus McNamee, in our view. I hope that was responsive to your question.
Well, that covers that, I guess. What about satisfied and dissatisfied customers? Is there any analysis of that about people who bought the book and reacted to it ways a lot of other people have reacted to it, like they can't believe this?
Well, there's some evidence in the record on that. There was evidence, of course, that you know, in this infomercial business, which they do a lot of these things, they offer a money back 30-day guarantee. Now, I realize that offering that money back guarantee is not a defense to fraud, but it is evidence out there of whether there was a whole pile of dissatisfied customers, and the return rate was low by industry standards. It was low. Not a lot of people returning this. No one has filed any consumer lawsuits, and as you well know, there's a whole, you know, a whole army of consumer plaintiff class actions lawyers out there. There was also some evidence that was offered, at least, that of favorable comment from the retail internet. People would put favorable comments on the retail internet sites. You can go to Amazon.com. So, you know, there were some negative ones as well as there are with any books, but that's the state of the record on that. I think it's safe to say that, you know, whatever you think of the weight loss protocol, it works. No one's saying it killed anybody, and nobody's saying it doesn't cause you to lose weight. And there were a lot of satisfied customers.
It makes enhanced interrogation sound pretty mild. It's pretty tough stuff.
It could be, but, you know.
500 calories alone might do the trick.
Right.
It might, but,
walking,
you know.
An hour a day, plus the HCG, that's been in the news a little bit lately, hasn't it? Didn't that result in Manny Ramirez being suspended, and didn't Jose Canseco get arrested trying to bring some of that back into the United States?
I don't think so, but anyway, I'm not going to purport to be an expert on sports medicine.
HCG is not something you could go out and get at over the counter.
No, not over the counter, but you can get it from a physician. You can go to your physician.
Not for weight loss.
What?
You can't get it for weight loss.
Well, actually, you can. There's a lot of drugs out there that are prescribed by physicians off-label. I mean, you can do that in a lot of contexts. You know, I can think of a couple offhand, but there's a lot of drugs that are prescribed by licensed, reputable physicians for off-label uses.
It's not fair, is it, to describe that diet as easy?
Well, I do think that it is fair to say that Mr. Trudeau found it easy. He said in the book 37 times it was easy. And easy is all in the eye of the beholder. This is a diet that if you take the substance, it supposedly resets your hypothalamus gland, and therefore you don't feel like eating all that much. You don't have the appetite that you had before. So, I mean, I think that this whole debate about easy is a little bit of a sideshow because, again, we have to look back at the law, and there's very clear guidance on the law of contempt here from this court, the Galuba case, Galuba versus school district case, which says that for there to be a proper civil contempt finding, there has to be a violation of an unequivocal command in a court order. There's no unequivocal command here. There is the restraint in the 2004 order that says that Mr. Trudeau will not misrepresent the content of any of his books and infomercials. But that phrase was so ambiguous that counsels for the FTC and Mr. Trudeau stood before the court in 2004 and said, we've reached an agreement on how to interpret that. And the agreement said that we've got a tangible example of how to comply, and that was Mr. Trudeau's Natural Cures infomercial. And in that infomercial, Mr. Trudeau had truthfully, albeit selectively, quoted from portions of the book that he found would be most attractive to his readers. Those were the ground rules that, you know, you don't have to have a book reading in the infomercial. He could selectively but truthfully quote. That's what he did in the example that they presented to the court, and that's what he did for the next several years. And frankly, that's what he did with this weight loss cures book. But now the FTC comes and said, well, no, you're in contempt because you didn't disclose everything in the book. Well, there is no unequivocal command in the 2004 consent order that he disclose everything in the book. And so, based on Galuba versus School District, we do not think that this contempt sanction stands muster. And I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions, but I'd like to reserve a little bit for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. DeMille Wagman for the FTC.
Thank you, Your Honor. Counsel for Mr. Trudeau said that EASY is a sideshow. EASY is not a sideshow. EASY is where everything begins. The issue here is whether Mr. Trudeau violated the 2004 order by misrepresenting the content of the weight loss cure book. He said that the diet was easy. As this court recognized, the diet described in that book was excruciatingly difficult. And it is not relevant that the word easy appears 31 times in the course of the weight loss cure book. If Mr. Trudeau had said on every page of the book, this book contains the complete works of William Shakespeare, he couldn't have advertised the book as a Shakespeare collection. The diet is excruciatingly difficult. He represented the diet as easy in his infomercials. That was the only attribute of the diet he described in his infomercials. He misrepresented the content of the book. He violated the 2004 order. Now, the McNamee case is simply not relevant here. In McNamee, this court held, the district court held McNamee in contempt for violating an order by selling unregistered securities to consumers. As a result, the district court ordered that McNamee disgorge the full proceeds of the security sale, the proceeds that he had received for all the stock. But the district court did not require that the consumers who had bought the stock return those shares. This court held that to the extent that McNamee were required to disgorge for sales where consumers chose to keep the stock, that portion of the award would be punitive, not compensatory. So the court remanded to the district court for it to take care of that problem. The situation here is very different. In this case, in the McNamee case, consumers purchased the stock. That was an asset that had continuing value. To the extent consumers were hurt, it was as a result of the vagaries of the stock market. Here, consumers purchased a book. This book is now several years old. It is used. Presumably, the book has, at best, nominal value. Mr. Trudeau could have shown before the district court that somehow the book remained an asset that had value. He did not make such a showing. The district court was correct to presume that in a compensatory award, consumers were entitled to be compensated for the full amount they had paid, the $37.6 million. Now, Mr. Trudeau argues that a $37.6 million award, counsel for Mr. Trudeau argues that 37.6 is not appropriate because he did not actually receive the full $37.6 million. But that's not relevant because in a civil contempt proceeding, the remedy available to the district court is a compensatory award. The measure of a compensatory award is the harm suffered by the victims of the contemnor's contumacious conduct, not the benefit that the contemnor may have received. There's numerous situations in which contemnors do not line their pockets as a result of contempt. In the Bagwell case, which Mr. Trudeau's counsel cites, the contemnors were union members who had damaged a mine in result, as a result of striking that violated the court's order. They had damaged various property. The court required that they compensate the mine owner for the property damage they had caused. That hadn't lined their pocket. There's other situations, such as McComb versus Jacksonville Paper, in which the court ordered the contemnor to pay back wages to an employee who had been fired or who hadn't been paid appropriate wages. In a situation where back pay is awarded, the contemnor is going to be out of pocket.
Well, the difficulty I have with the fine amount is that it's the total cost of those books sold through the infomercials.
Yes.
That assumes that there is no value to the purchaser of those books. There's no real measure of what value or information about the value to the consumer.
That is correct. And as Mr. Trudeau conceded before the district court, and it's in District Court Document 123 at page 2, I believe, he conceded that when consumers purchase an item in response to deceptive advertising, they are presumed to be injured. To the full amount of the purchase price. That's a rebuttable presumption. They're entitled. Mr. Trudeau was entitled to rebut that presumption, either by showing that there were satisfied consumers or that the book had some sort of continuing value. He made neither showing.
Well, the government gets the money. There's not even an effort made to find out who these consumers are, to find out whether they're satisfied or not. How is that compensatory?
Not so, Your Honor. That's one of the arguments that Mr. Trudeau made, that the Federal Trade Commission would keep the money or would turn it over to the Treasury. In fact, in the district court's December 11th order, and that's at page A1 of the appendix, the very first page directly attached behind Mr. Trudeau's brief, the court said that it was ordering Mr. Trudeau to provide refunds to the victims of his contumacious conduct. That is, the court was ordering that money be given to the consumers who had purchased the book. Mr. Trudeau suggests in his brief that the commission is going to keep this money or turn it over to the Treasury. It is simply baseless speculation to suggest that the commission would violate the court's order and would keep money or would turn it over to the Treasury when the court has ordered that money be refunded to consumers. The consumers who are entitled to refunds are those consumers who purchased in response to the infomercial. There are records as to who those consumers were because they called an 800 number. The sales were made by ITV, and the commission is attempting at this time to get those records from ITV. To the extent, in the highly unlikely circumstances, incredibly unlikely circumstances, that the commission somehow collects more money than it's able to refund to consumers, it will return, as a result of the court's order, it will return that money to Mr. Trudeau. But that's a highly unlikely circumstance here because...
Is the FTC bound to do so by the court's order?
I think by the court's order in this case, it is bound to do so. The order says that money shall be turned over to consumers. It does not say... As does happen in some other cases. In some other cases, the court says if it's not practicable to turn the money over to consumers, it goes to the Treasury. But in this case, the court said that the money goes to the consumers. But it's highly unlikely that's going to happen because in this case, so far the commission has been unable to collect even one penny from Mr. Trudeau, who's pleading poverty. And he argues that there's some possibility of double recovery as a result of the fact that the commission is separately suing ITV Global, the producer of the infomercials. But again, that case is at a very early stage. But even assuming that the commission prevails, and even assuming that the court in that case, which is in the district court in Massachusetts, even assuming that there's a restitutionary award, there's not going to be a double recovery because consumers in that case who are awarded restitution aren't entitled to restitution if they've already been compensated as a result of the commission's contempt action against Mr. Trudeau. And again, it's unlikely that so far there aren't any such consumers because the commission's been unable to collect anything from Mr. Trudeau.
Well, if they are successful, this is jumping, of course, to against the FTC. The FTC is successful against ITV.
Yes.
We can be hypothetical, and they recover $37 million, which isn't going to happen, but right. Then is it up to the FTC to find those consumers who bought it?
Yes, Your Honor. If If the commission is successful in this case and it collects the $37.6 million from Mr. Trudeau, the commission is responsible for finding the consumers, and it's attempting to do that already by seeking discovery of the records. There are records as to who purchased this book, and the commission is attempting to find those records, and it will refund the money. If it ever collects any money, it will refund that money to those consumers.
In the meantime, Trudeau doesn't have the money. We know that. So he's got to come up with the money from someplace else, I guess maybe to sell the next book. This isn't like Mike Tyson, who can go into another fight and win $50 million. I don't – is this a – where does this go? Because we don't have any idea who the consumers are, and that's what you said. That's where the injury is focused. We don't know if anybody actually followed this diet and was permanently injured.
No, Your Honor. The injury is not physical injury to someone. The injury is as a result of purchasing an item in response to a deceptive advertisement, and there are records as to who those consumers are, and the presumption is that every consumer who bought the book in response to deceptive advertisements is injured thereby. The burden is then on Mr. Trudeau to show that there were satisfied consumers or whatever. He's made no such showing. The district court specifically found that he had failed to show.
He would have to come up with all of them, because the presumption is that they are not satisfied.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And so, however many, I don't know how much the book cost or anything. I don't know how many purchasers that includes.
It's 870,000, Your Honor.
Okay, so 870,000 people bought the book.
Yes.
And we don't know who has the list. ITV, I guess.
We understand ITV has the
list. And Trudeau doesn't. So
that's right.
So what's he do?
What does he do? Your Honor, it's what does the Federal Trade Commission do? The Federal Trade Commission has a judgment. It has to collect on it. And it is making efforts to collect on a judgment. It's no different than any other case in which a party has a judgment that it is attempting to collect from a judgment debtor who claims to have... In this case, Mr. Trudeau claims to have no assets. That's for the Federal Trade Commission to attempt to collect the judgment and attempt to provide redress to the consumers. And the Federal Trade Commission will, in this case, as it does in other similar situations, once it obtains the list of consumers and determines the amount of money that it's able to obtain after it's gone through its judgment collection actions with Mr. Trudeau, it develops... a redress program, then it presents it to the court for the court to approve, and it effectuates it.
And that was the intent of the district court. You're relying on its judgment on page A3, is that correct?
Yes, and it's actually page A1 where the court says that it is ordering Mr. Trudeau to, and I quote, to repay the victims of his contumacious conduct. Now, Mr. Trudeau, in his brief, and again...
Right, page A1?
Page A1. On the very first page, at the bottom, in the last paragraph, I believe it's in the last paragraph, the court says it is ordering him to repay the victims of his contumacious conduct, page A1. Yes, and that is an appropriate compensatory award. And again, it is irrelevant. It is irrelevant that Mr. Trudeau didn't actually receive those funds. And that's what the Supreme Court said in United States versus United Mine Workers. That's 330 U.S. 258 at page 304. The court says that is simply irrelevant. The measure of the harm, and it cites Parker versus United States, the measure of the harm is the harm done to the victims of the condemnation's conduct.
And now, that is presumed to be the money they paid for the book.
It is, and Mr. Trudeau conceded as much, Your Honor. That is the presumption, unless he rebuts it, which he failed to do in this case.
How much did each book cost?
He sold it at a variety of at various prices. Towards the end, he was selling it for $14.95. However, he said $14.95 plus shipping and handling. In fact, shipping and handling on these books, in most cases, exceeded by a substantial amount the price for the book. So consumers who were paying $14.95 for the book were probably paying more than somewhere around $35 for the book. And although Mr. Trudeau offered a money-back guarantee for the book, The money-back guarantee only applied to the price of the book, not to shipping and handling, and consumers were also required to ship the book back if they wanted to collect on the money-back guarantee. Little wonder that almost nobody took advantage of the money-back guarantee. It would have cost you more to get back only a small fraction of what you paid.
Counsel, may I shift your focus for a moment to the other aspect of the decree that
yes.
concerning the prohibition against his participating in information infomercials in the
yes,
future.
Yes, Your Honor.
Seems awfully broad. Your opponent says this would cover if you wanted to write a book on George Washington.
Your Honor, the way the restriction reads that the court imposed is it would cover any infomercial in which he is affecting a sale or promoting the sale of a book or other publication in which he has an interest. And yes, if he writes a book about George Washington and he produces an infomercial touting that book, yes, the restriction would apply, just as if he writes a book describing diets.
But is that seems awfully broad. You really are restraining. Isn't there some lesser? Why couldn't you have some kind of a situation where he had to submit this to the court before he could publish it or something of that nature for scrutiny? But an absolute ban seems to be just awfully stringent.
Your Honor, it's not, in fact, an absolute ban because it leaves Mr. Trudeau with numerous alternatives in which to tout books that he has produced. For example, he could advertise them in print media, newspaper, magazines. He could advertise them on TV or radio so long as he avoids the infomercial format. The district court found that that was a format in which Mr. Trudeau was simply incapable of resisting the temptation to engage in misrepresentations.
The whole point is that he had abused that particular
yes.
way of doing things in the past, and lesser means had not restrained him in the past.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, Your Honor. The 2004 order was, the original version of the 2004 order was a lesser means. It did permit him to advertise books or publications so long as he did not misrepresent them. Now, he suggests two alternatives, and one is, as Your Honor suggested, the possibility of submitting for pre-approval to the Federal Trade Commission. That's an incredible restraint on his speech, and the Federal Trade Commission doesn't do that. We're not an advertising approval agency, and a court doesn't want to get involved in pre-approving the classic prior restraint, his speech. Mr. Trudeau also suggests that a lesser restriction might have been a bonding requirement, impose a bond. In fact, when the Federal Trade Commission moved the court to modify the order, that was its original suggestion, that the court impose a bond requirement. And in document 122 before the district court, Mr. Trudeau said that a bond requirement, and it's at page 16 of document 122, Mr. Trudeau said that a bond requirement would be tantamount to a ban. It would effectively prohibit him from engaging in infomercials. So the court took the easier course, and it imposed this limited ban that, as I said, still leaves him ample opportunities to engage in advertising of books that he produces, and imposes no restriction if he wants to engage in fully protected speech. He can speak on any topic he wants. He can criticize the Federal Trade Commission, the Food and Drug Administration, this court, if he wants to, so long as he does not combine that speech with advertising for a book or publication that he wants to market. Advertising for books and publications, even a book regarding George Washington, is commercial speech, and that is a forum in which that Mr. Trudeau has repeatedly abused.
So it's not just infomercials. What you were leading up to is that because of his maybe amazing ability to get on TV and do infomercials that cause people to react, you say any kind of advertisement would also be included then?
No, only if I said that, I misspoke, Your Honor. It's only infomercials
okay.
that he is restricted. Those are.
Yeah, well, that sounds like that's what.
Yeah.
That's where he manages to do things that you all don't like.
That's right, because that's where he sits down and he sort of gets on a run and he just can't resist he can't resist the temptation to misrepresent what he's selling. And that's exactly what happened here with respect to the weight loss cure book. Now, counsel for Mr. Trudeau also mentioned the Verity case. That's a Second Circuit decision, and it has absolutely no application here. In Verity, the Second Circuit held that when the Federal Trade Commission brings an action in court to enforce Section 5 of the Federal Trade Commission Act, the court's authority to award restitution, which derives from Section 13B of the Federal Trade Commission Act, is limited to awarding restitution in an amount no greater than that received by the defendant in the case. But here, the commission's not suing to enforce Section 5 of the Federal Trade Commission Act. This is a contempt action, and courts have inherent authority to enforce the orders that they entered. And that's what the Supreme Court said in McComb versus Jacksonville Paper. The court specifically stated that restrictions that apply to an agency's underlying enforcement action do not apply in a contempt proceeding. The measure of the remedial award in a contempt proceeding is the full amount received by the victims of the contempt. It's not measured by amounts received by the defendant.
Nor is measured by who got the money or anything else.
It's just Honor, it's not, or even if anybody got money. For example, as I said, in property damage cases, if somebody damages property and commits a contempt thereby, nobody gets money, but the contemnor is still required to provide compensatory damages in that amount. Both the decisions of the district court awarding the compensatory damages and modifying the 2004 order in response to the commission's motion were appropriate, and we would ask that this court affirm those two decisions. Does this court have any further questions?
Appears not. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. To state the obvious, we're not here appealing what the FTC could have, should have, would have done with these funds if they're ever collected. We're here appealing a judgment order, and the judgment order appears at A3 of the appendix, and it says, in relevant part, the court enters a judgment in favor of the FTC and against Kevin Trudeau in the amount of $37,616,161. Representing a reasonable approximation of the loss of consumers suffered as a result of the defendant's deceptive infomercials. That is an unconditional fine. There is none of the procedural requirements that this court in SEC McNamee, in the court in Bagwell, in the court in Kuykendall have established as necessary due process protections. It's just an unconditional fine, and it doesn't withstand any scrutiny. What they may hope, trust us with the government, there's nothing in the record about that, and moreover, it's not in the judgment order we are appealing. The second point I want to make is their attempted distinction of McNamee just does not withstand scrutiny, and in fact, it reflects a rather, I think, contemptuous attitude towards books. They argue that McNamee is distinguishable because that was stock, and we have books here, and old books have no value. Well, that speaks very poorly, I think, of the government's view of the First Amendment. Old books, I guess, Shakespeare, the Bible, have no value under their view of the First Amendment and under their view of a proper civil remedy. It's not a valid distinction.
Is it your client's obligation then to establish some value for those?
No, Your Honor, because I think that leads me to my next point. We are confusing here this presumption of reliance on one hand with the rescissionary mechanism that's required for a restitutionary remedy. There is a presumption of reliance in the FTC Act jurisprudence, which the FTC would like to import in here. Of course, they run from the other FTC Act jurisprudence, which says the remedy is limited to equitable disgorgement. They don't like that. that part, but they lack the presumption of reliance. But let me tell you, the presumption of the reliance is not a presumption of dissatisfaction that triggers 100% restitution. And let me explain. The presumption of reliance is just an element in a fraud case. It doesn't address the question of whether or not people are so dissatisfied that they want to rescind. Some people may have bought this book, and they say they buy the book, and they say, okay, well, Mr. Trudeau said on TV it's easy. I'm reading it. It's not so easy, but I still like the book. It's got a lot of valuable science and medical information in it. I am losing weight. I like his political commentary about the government and Big Pharma. The book has value to me. I don't want to rescind. And that was the point of SEC versus McNamee. There were stockholders out there that didn't want to rescind. And just imposing a flat fine for the gross amount of the purchase, this court in SEC versus McNamee said is a non-starter under civil contempt remedy. So I want to make this perfectly distinction. This is perfectly clear. Counsel got up here and talked about a presumption of dissatisfaction. There is no presumption of dissatisfaction. Books have inherent value under the First Amendment, and we have to recognize that and be true to the First Amendment. There are probably a lot of people out there who, if a rescission opportunity is afforded, will not take advantage of it, because even though they might find losing weight a little more difficult than Mr. Trudeau told them, they like the book. There's a lot of valuable information in it. So that's the distinction. There's no presumption of dissatisfaction, Your Honor.
Was McNamee a public company? Wasn't that stock in public, though? I mean, wasn't it it had a market value, in other words, established. I may be wrong. I thought that was the case.
I think it did have some.
So, you know, they always had to do is look in the paper or wherever online and know what the value is. On this book, I don't know how you find it.
Well, books have an intrinsic value under our First
Amendment.
They do,
but they've got to know what it is. And when there's a market value on that's established and it's published, you know what your stock's worth. And they may think it's going to go up or get better.
But books have an intangible value that cannot be swept under the rug here.
Well, it can't. I don't know how you value it, but okay.
Well, you will know how to value it if people are offered an opportunity to rescind, and some do and some don't. There will be some that don't because they found the book contains a lot of valuable information. They like his commentary. That's how you will find if you follow the proper procedure here. But we're never going to get there because this order that we're appealing from is an unconditional flat fine with no opportunity to purge the contempt fine, and that is unlawful under Bagwell and McNamee. Thank you.
All right, thank you. To both counsel, we will take the case under advisement.